Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Department of Veterans Affairs, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
The future of veterans' health care, much of it anyhow, lies outside of the Veterans Affairs Department's own walls. Secretary David Shulkin and many in Congress want to see more care delivered by local community networks rather than in large, distant VA hospitals. Shulkin explains how VA and the Defense Department could work together.
Are there ways that we could do things together that would be more efficient and de-layer the process? So as we each go out and develop networks of providers, is there a possibility of us developing our networks of providers together to expand options for both TRICARE beneficiaries as well as veterans so that you get to participate in larger networks and easier to access care rather than having to do each of these programs separately? So I think this is really just a common sense approach to beginning to say, are there better ways to run government? Are there better ways to run the VA than simply continuing the past practices?
I guess if it's a good idea to merge the medical, not to merge, but to have the same medical record system for someone through his or her career from active duty to veteran status, maybe that idea extends out to other delivery systems that extend from when they were in service to when they're veterans.
I think there are so many opportunities to break down the silos among federal agencies, whether it's coordinating our research better with the National Institute on Health, working closer with public service, public health service officers in underserved areas, which we're now beginning to do, or as in the cases we're talking about, you know, integrating electronic medical records or how we purchase our supplies and doing that in a more integrated fashion rather than in a siloed fashion.
And just to get back to the doctors, let's talk about the progress in filling open positions. Some of those are medical, some are administrative, but you have been talking for some time about the difficulty of getting sufficient people in for the openings that VA has funded and authorized. How's that going?
We're continuing to struggle with that. As you know, we operate healthcare facilities in almost every part of the country, and the same areas where the private sector is struggling with finding qualified healthcare professionals in rural parts of the country and areas where there aren't medical schools or nursing schools, the VA is struggling to find those same individuals as the private sector is. And so we will continue to increase our efforts to recruit, but we're also looking at increasing the supply of medical professionals. And part of the legislation that we're working on now with Congress is to increase the number of graduate medical education spots and offer a service payback for loan repayment where we could identify individuals who might help us in some of these underserved areas in the future.
That gets to a really big societal issue. Now, you've been a doctor and a hospital administrator much longer than you've been connected with VA. Do you remember a time when it was this difficult to find this type of professional?
I do think it's getting more challenging. And as we get more specialized with people's expertise, it's getting difficult to find those that practice in the general areas like primary care and in general mental health care. And so that's the areas that we need to look at expanding our training opportunities in.
I mean, I wonder if medical school in the United States has gotten too expensive, and because of a variety of factors, remuneration for most medical practitioners has shrunk relatively. Could that be part of the problem?
I do think when you go back and you look at where some of these problems are, they do have the roots in how we pay for these programs. And when you look at training doctors, the problem now is not necessarily the medical schools. It's increasingly in those post-medical school placements in the residency programs where hospitals have traditionally funded those programs with Medicare's help. And now that Medicare has capped those programs, it's getting more challenging to train medical school students after they graduate. And so that's where the VA is looking to help expand those opportunities for training.
I mean, with VA's market power, if you will, for lack of a better term, it could help change the whole balance of the medical provisioning and hiring and education system in the country.
We think so. We are the largest program training doctors, nurses, pharmacists, social workers, psychologists in the country. And we see our role as helping not only train healthcare professionals to care for veterans, but also to go out and to help the rest of the country in terms of providing those services. So we take that role very seriously.
We're speaking with Dr. David Shulkin, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. And on the larger personnel front, earlier VA sought and got some reforms from Congress with respect to probationary periods for senior executives and some of those procedures. Are you seeking further reforms for personnel at this point, such as the idea of moving people into Title 53 and out of Title 5, or are you pretty much set on that front for now?
The accountability legislation that you referred to be able to remove employees when they've deviated from accepted professional practices has been very important for us to get back on track at VA. We're seeking reforms now in helping to hire and recruit in an easier fashion and to be able to make VA a more attractive environment to work in. And we think that you really need both ends of the spectrum. You need to be able to remove employees that shouldn't be there and be able to bring in the most talented professionals into the organization. And it's that combination of strategy that we think is going to get us to where we need to be.
Because some of the reforms that were originally applied to VA have spread to government-wide. And if you even subtract the medical specialty out of VA, it's still a very big agency. And so reforms for all of the other areas, IT, procurement, administration, and the myriad of functions that all agencies have, it seems like VA could be an influencer there also.
Yeah, I do think VA is leading the way in this area. And of course, we have a great respect and value our workforce and think that we have some of the best healthcare professionals in the country and some of the best workers in the government. But there's always going to be those that that are at the end of the spectrum that really have lost their way. And we want to make sure that people understand that we're going to act and we're going to hold them accountable for those behaviors.
And I guess maybe this relates a little bit about the best places to work listings. It seems like the biggest agencies somehow have the biggest struggles with that. And you're kind of down there with DHS. What are you doing on that front? Or is that something you can try to influence?
I do believe that being able to remove people from the workforce who have not been constructive is going to result in those employees that remain feeling better about their jobs and improving the morale. We are working hard to provide our workers with better quality facilities and tools and technology to allow them to do their jobs well. And if we take care of our employees, we know that they're going to take good care of our veterans, and that's ultimately what our mission is. So we are very focused on making progress on improving the morale in the organization.
And that relates to something else you've done, which is the new Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection, which gets to the idea of, you know, the good people feel better when the bad ones are sought or called out and then perhaps removed or disciplined. How's that all going?
It is a new office, and we have a lot of activity there where people now know that they have a place that they can come where their concerns will be taken seriously, where we will make sure that when people tell us about issues of concern that there is not retaliation. And so we're working hard, and we think that's an important part of getting the organization moving in the direction that it needs to be moving in.
That's VA Secretary David Shulkin. In part two of my interview, Shulkin describes his goal of modernizing VA's aging facilities. We'll post it all at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Modernizing the way Veterans Affairs delivers healthcare also requires a new approach to facilities. in which that care takes place. Many VA facilities are old and outdated, and nowadays, shorter hospital stays and more outpatient care mean big central hospitals are less and less relevant. I discussed this with VA Secretary David Shulkin.
One of my goals for the organization is to modernize the facilities and to modernize the infrastructure and technologies that we're using to treat veterans. And that means re-looking at how we are using our facilities now. And I've announced that I want to dispose of our underutilized and vacant facilities and reinvest that into our facilities that veterans are being treated in and utilizing. And part of that is moving forward with that plan. I believe, as Secretary, I have many of the tools and authorities necessary to move forward with that plan. Congress is looking at ways that they can help us in removing some of the barriers that slow things down. And some are looking at whether a BRAC-type commission would be helpful, and others are looking at other authorities that would allow me to do this faster. I'll continue to work with Congress to find the best solution to allow us to modernize the VA.
And VA alone, or there's very few agencies that have their own construction and leasing authority outside of the GSA, but VA is one of them. And is that going to continue to be helpful to you?
I do think that part of what we need to do to modernize the system is not only dispose of facilities that no longer make sense to keep, but also to continue to invest in constructing and updating our facilities. And in general, hospitals in particular are heavily utilized buildings because they're open 365 days a year. And the rule of thumb is that approximately every 10 to 15 years, you need to do a modern renovation or replacement of buildings that are utilized heavily. So we do need a construction and facilities management organization within the Department of Veteran Affairs, and we'll continue to make sure that that is working in optimal ways, which in the past, frankly, we've fallen short in terms of utilizing those resources in the best way.
Well, probably the Aurora situation didn't help with congressional, credibility.
No. The hospital in Denver, which will be opening up next year, clearly took way too long and took way too much money and was probably a case example of everything that could go wrong in construction. And organizations that don't learn from their mistakes are doomed to repeat them. And, of course, we've learned a lot from this and are not going to ever have a repeat of a situation like that again.
There might have been some gilding of the lily there with the best intentions for the veteran experience, but we're seeing more and more organizations pop up that are helping PTSD and similar types of victims, the injured and disabled, with settings that help them recover, that maybe the hospitals don't need to have that kind of facility.
Well, I do think that's part of the modernization of the VA, understanding that building the types of large complexes that we did in the past may not be the way that you design systems in the future. And, of course, we're looking at alternative settings to hospitals. You mentioned and referred to some of them, but, of course, we're looking at providing more care in the home. And that's really what we think people want to do when they're sick and scared. Remaining in their home is often a more comforting environment than moving into a sterile institutional environment. So we're relooking at how care will be delivered in the future and trying to be on the leading edge of that rather than trailing behind these trends.
Will you be, pursuant to that, will you be looking at some of the new telemedicine techniques? I know that you have personally participated in that kind of thing, but maybe there's more to be done in terms of the equipment and the bandwidth and the types of services that can be delivered over telephone lines, if you will.
VA is already the largest provider of telemedicine services in the country by far. We put over $1 billion a year into telehealth, and this is a strategy that we're doubling down on and rapidly expanding the use of technology to help our access issues and wait time issues in the VA, as well as providing high-quality care. So we're certainly far ahead in that strategy, and we're going to be building off of those strategies along with our home-based care programs, our care caregiver programs, our ability to deliver medications and equipment into the home, to be able to deliver on the promise that people should be able to remain in their home if that's where they want to get their care.
And can telemedicine also extend to maybe community facilities that are close to the home, but not necessarily the 40 or 25 miles away in a large, busy building?
That's how we're using telehealth right now, and I think you're going to see more and more of that capability rolled out. We have over 50 specialty programs that are now delivered using telehealth, even things like teledental medicine that other places just aren't seeing. And so the VA will continue to push the envelope in this direction.
Can you see a day when people will possess sensors that could plug into a mobile device and therefore transmit the information that a doctor could get if they were physically there to touch a person, like bite on this or put this next to your ear or that type of thing?
I think that day is already here. The VA currently has a remote monitoring program that takes care of 145,000 veterans using technologies like that to be able to collect information on how patients are doing that's relayed back to our clinicians so we can monitor them from afar.
That's VA Secretary David Shulkin. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
We're speaking with Dr. David Shulkin, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and let's talk about the CHOICE Act. I know that's been something that's consumed a lot of your attention, and there's the funding issues, but beyond that, there's also the structure of the program issues. How is the funding coming along, and what are you hearing with respect to making sure that has continuity?
We notified Congress about a few days ago, earlier this week, that we had less than 30 days of funding in this program. So there is an urgency to refund the CHOICE program. Our preference is not just to refund it, but also to reform it and revise it to make it a more efficient program so veterans can use it in an easier fashion to be able to get the care they need in the community when they need to go out into the community. So we're working closely with both the Senate and the House to make sure that that they're able to move along with these types of legislative changes.
And many of the groups that are ancillary or peripheral to the VA but very involved, the veterans groups and so forth, even some of the employee unions, they tend to sometimes have a predictable, let's say, reaction to expansion of CHOICE program and put it in terms of, well, they're dismantling VA. And what are you doing to work with those groups to try to make them see things the way you wish they would see them?
I think we're working very well with those groups. All 26 of the veteran service organizations co-signed a letter together to support the Senate and their CHOICE legislation. And this is a recognition that what we're trying to build in the VA is a system that works for veterans when they need care in the community. But just as important, if not more important, is to make sure that the VA remains a strong and vibrant organization when veterans get their care within the VA system. So what we're looking for is the right balance between a strong VA, but also supplemented by the private sector when VA is not able to provide the type of services or care that veterans need.
Now, federal agencies are in the passback, late passback period, almost the end of it, really, for the 2019 budget, and that means it's 2020 is not that far along around the corner in terms of preparations by agencies. What are you looking at in terms of 19 and 20 for the strategic initiatives?
We've worked very closely with the Office of Management and Budget, and we are exactly as you've indicated, you know, working through that pass-back process. The Office of Management and Budget understands our strategic goals and has been very supportive. The largest piece of this is to build the CHOICE program into a permanent part of the way that we operate VA so that we're not constantly going through a time where we're running out of money and money has to be reauthorized. And so I think the president has committed to a very strong budget for VA in 19 and 20, and incorporating the choice program into that is part of the president's initiative. And so we're feeling very good about where we are entering these fiscal years.
Anything you want to talk about or add that I didn't ask?
We're going to remain committed to our strategic initiatives. Ending veterans homelessness will remain a priority. Reducing opioid use rates in the VA will remain a priority. Reducing veteran suicide is our top clinical priority, and we'll continue to stay focused on that as long as we need to, because this is just an issue that is so important to us and to the veteran community.
On the opioid front, I know that VA is doing some pretty groundbreaking research in alternatives and better ways to use them and when to not use them and so forth. And are you working to get that research promulgated throughout the whole medical establishment?
VA was a very active participant in the president's commission to reduce opioid dependency, and we've been sharing some of those best practices and our research findings, and many of them were incorporated into the commission report. And we continue to work closely with organizations around the country, not only to share our practices, but to learn from others, because we think that you always need to be re-looking at how you're doing things to get better results.
Veterans Affairs Secretary Dr. David Shulkin. There's more to the interview. We'll post it in its entirety at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Department of Veterans Affairs, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.